Tom Kissingberry here. Nah, I'm just kidding. We don't have Tom Kissingberry money. It's just me, Peter Howard, and Jake Anderson meeting at the Dynasty Crossroads once a week for 30 minutes to talk about one player at a time. We look at the film with Jake, we talk about the analytics with me, and we try to come to a consensus. We do have a pretty cool theme song, though.
Peter crunches numbers, and Jake just grinds that tape. Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return. I went up, I learned, I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict, Russ and Brian are the names. Trade addicts pie, let's go.
House and I have a trading problem.
And I'm Brian Haar, and I also have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to session 72 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts. How are you doing today, Brian?
All right, man. How are you?
I am wonderful. I'm going to be honest. I have two startups going right now, which we'll get into in a second. I have two startups, one mock draft, just finished a redraft draft run by Mandrew. He has his Eli Championship Series. Let's see, what else do I got going on? And this week's the freaking Midwest FF Expo. Hashtag sorry, Brian. I'm super excited about it. I get to finally meet a lot of people and I get to hug people. If you are not going, unless you're Brian, because sorry, Brian, and sorry, Zach, because I know you two actually can't go. Zach Reed. Everyone else, you should be going. MidwestFFExpo.com. $20-ish buys you a ticket and the ability to meet me. What more do you want? Besides a giant swag bag with a whole lot of stuff in it, which is apparently worth multiple times the amount that you pay to get in, which is very little. Plus, they have t-shirts, and I am a dirty word for t-shirts. So yeah, all of that cancels out the crap that my laptop is doing to me right now. Damn, that was loud. So Brian messages me like a half hour ago. He's like, yeah, I'm actually ready to go if you are. And I'm like, that's awesome. So I open up my laptop, updating 1%. Half hour goes by, updating 5%. Crud. Yeah. So I had to steal a friend's laptop, this little MacBook Air that I don't remember the last time I've used a Mac anything, and B, it's like a piece of, it's like 8.5 by 11 if it's lucky. I have no idea what I'm doing. Hopefully this works. I don't know. I could see and talk to Brian. That's all I care about.
Yeah, you still look and sound beautiful, so that's all that matters, right?
All right, but another reason I'm excited is because the past two episodes have just been so much freaking fun, and we are finishing up our Bull Takes episode. We got the NFC West, AFC South, and AFC North. Man, we just jumped around last episode, I guess, because those have nothing to do with each other. That's awesome, though. That's fun. So, yeah, we're going to finish that up. If we got time, we'll hit up some Trade Addicts trades, but I really want to get these Bull Takes done because, I don't know, because I just feel like they should get done. Stop questioning me. let's just jump straight in, right? Yeah.
Main event. Bold takes.
Takes. All right, so I'm going to get the sad one out of the way first. We're going to start with the NFC West. And I'm just going to go straight to the Seahawks. I'm going to do it. I think Russell Wilson is going to finish as a QB2 this year. Now, I've been on this rant many times. I was on the Daily Blitz show with Matt Williams when he was doing the all 32 teams, talking about Russell Wilson and them paying him all this money. And the reality of the situation to me is, everyone thinks you pay the man the money, so they should unleash the offense. They should let him pass 30 times a game because that's why they paid him money. But let's see the reality of the situation. They run the ball. That's what they do. They're not going to change that. The reason they paid Russell Wilson that much money is because their system cannot work unless you have as good of a quarterback as Russell Wilson. They're going to throw that ball 16 times a game. Russell Wilson's going to complete 15 out of 16, and that's what they need. They need that efficiency. He's not going to have a perfect passer rating with one of his wide receivers who's going to have like a 20% touchdown rate. It's just not going to happen again. I'm worried, legit worried, about Russell Wilson in fantasy going forward. Do you feel any different?
I mean, I still have him up there in the elite tier of quarterbacks, you know, somewhere in that 4 to 7 range, depending on the mood I'm in. I don't know. I mean, he is so efficient, and he's always been efficient, and he has that, you know, he has a high floor, right? Because he runs the ball.
That's true.
Too. You know, last year he didn't quite as much, I don't think. I don't actually
barely
know that.
Actually, yeah. No, you're right. He did
not. Yeah, it seemed like he didn't run it nearly as much last year. So, you know, but hopefully they, you know, incorporate some of that and let him be mobile in the backfield there to make plays, because that's when he's at his best, when he's able to use his feet and throw the ball downfield. So I mean, I could see this. I still think he'll finish as a quarterback one. Honestly, when I saw this, I thought you were saying he was going to be the QB2, like, overall. When I just looked up, I normally don't do that either, so apologies for that. But I did scroll up and look at yours on this
you
one.
Cheater.
I did cheat on this particular one. I could see it going either way, kind of. I do think the running game is going to be a big part of what they do in Seattle. It always is. You know, they change coordinators and different things, but that running game, you don't necessarily know who the hell it's going to be. But, you know, it's always a big part of their offense. So, I could see it go either way.
Yeah. All right. You didn't necessarily make me feel better, but you didn't make me feel worse, so I'll take that as a plus. So what's your bold take for the Seahawks?
Yeah, so for the Seahawks, my bold take, and it kind of plays into your idea of Seattle running, and it's Chris Carson. I have Chris Carson as a Pro Bowl running back this year.
Do we have an idea of... Well, I guess that means he just has a good stat line in general. I mean, I was going to ask if you had like an idea of what you were thinking. Yeah, but I guess it doesn't really matter because Pro Bowl means lots of yards and probably a couple of scores. So, I mean, I'm good with that. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I could see him, you know, kind of doing what he did last year, which, by the way, was, you know, pretty darn good. I mean, 1,151 yards and 9 touchdowns. I mean,
seems kind of Pro Bowl-ish already.
Really, yeah. I mean, if it wasn't for some of these running backs just having insane years last year, you know, I think he could have snuck in there last year at least as a reserve. So, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. Here's the other thing, and I think the reason for me that this is kind of a bold take is that I am not a Rashad Penny guy. I don't see it. I know, you know, that the profiles and all that stuff and the dominator ratings and all that are really positive in his favor. I just don't see it. I mean, even if will he mix in some? Yeah. But not, I don't know. I mean, Carson's been good when he's been in there. He's been really good, and Pete Carroll seems to like him, and I think he's going to be the lead back in that offense. So I don't think there's any reason he can't do what he did on the ground last year again. And if he does, he's going to be in the conversation as a Pro Bowler, in my opinion.
See, here's the thing. I'm a Rashad Penny guy. I mean, I love Chris Carson. I always have. But I'm also, I like Rashad Penny this year. And here's my thing. I still agree with your take. They're going to run the ball damn near 600 times. So, I mean, there's plenty of carries to go both ways, plus J.D. McKissic, and if they haven't cut C.J. Procise yet, R.I.P., because I'm sure he's going to get hurt anyway. Travis Homer and the other guy, I can't remember. Like, all these guys are going to get 200 touches, so it doesn't really matter. Chris Carson is an electric playmaker. Shout out John Hogue. So, yeah, to give that dude close to what he had last year, and there's no reason he won't do exactly the same thing he did last year. If anything, like, he'll probably be a little better off with someone like DK on the field also, who, like, maybe they will have to put a safety more than 5 yards down, you know, from the line of scrimmage.
Right.
So, yeah, I like it. Again, I don't feel better about Russell Wilson, but I still... Okay, we're going to move on.
Well, here's the other thing about Carson. I mean, the other thing I really like about him is he's 24 and his ADP is, I mean, he's 69th overall. So Penny is going a spot in front of him. And I don't
get that. I mean, that's Apple Twitter, you know, mocking for him.
Yeah, it has to be. I mean, he's going behind Mark Ingram, Miles Sanders. I mean, you know, some of the rookies I get a little bit of the hype, obviously, but, you know, I don't know. I think he's a value at that spot. I mean, I'm not good at math. What is that? The sixth round?
Ish.
Yeah. Yeah. Like end of the sixth round or so.
Fifth. Would you say 60 what?
69th.
Well, 60, that's 5.09.
Yeah. So, yeah. So end of the fifth round, you know, I mean, I think that's pretty good value for a guy that put up 1,150 yards and 9 touchdowns last year. So
yeah, I'll take it. Seriously, right now, give it to me.
Should we foreshadow? Did we even put that on here on the sheet? I didn't look. We just acquired him in a trade ad.
Oh, shoot. Nope. Didn't even get to 7 when I was going through the trades. I stopped at Trade Addicts 5.
So.
Okay, well, we'll talk about it. If we have time, we'll talk about it.
Okay, cool. Sounds good.
49ers, because they're next on the list. I have... Yeah. Well, mine's kind of ruined already. Oh, freaking Jet, man. I have that Jet and Tevin were going to be top 24 running backs. And now it seems like Jerick McKinnon is going to open on the PUP or IR. And if that happens, I'm letting the dream die. I can't hold on anymore. That's... I don't know, man. You just talk. Mine's dead.
So we agree on Tevin Coleman having a big year. I have Coleman. I have him over 1,500 total yards, and I think that's not as bold as it was before McKinnon kind of, you know, decided that he wasn't ready to go, but. Yeah, I mean, I think Tevin Coleman, you know, he's been a running back too in like every season he's played in the NFL, and he's never had a feature role. Now he gets that feature role. I mean, you could say last year, I guess, with Freeman being out, but you know, I think he's going to be good in Shanahan's offense. He was good in Shanahan's offense previously, so I think he's going to be good there again. And then the other guy I think here, and this isn't in my bold take, but the other guy that gets a bump here is Matt Breida. Mm-hmm. The dude is just a good football player. You know, he's always got an injury nagging around, but he still plays. He's always on the injury report, but he always shows up. And he's a guy that is definitely going to benefit from McKinnon being sidelined to start the year. You know, he's a guy that Shanahan already trusts in that offense too. So, you know, I think Coleman's going to have a good year, and I think he's probably going to end up running away with that job. But if he goes down for some reason, you know, Matt Breida is a really solid player that you can plug in, and he can even be valuable like in a flex position, you know, just on a week to week basis, I think.
Yeah, everyone was calling it. I just wanted McKinnon to be a thing so badly. No, yeah, you're right. Breida, I think it's going to take time for his ADP to just skyrocket, mm-hmm. because all of a sudden it's no question he's the number two in a Shanahan offense, as opposed to will he be, you know, the three? Will he get split time with McKinnon when knowing Tevin's the man? And you're drinking water, and I forgot my water bottle upstairs. Damn. So yeah, this definitely, maybe this is something you should probably, you know, pause the podcast, go take advantage of. That's a lie. Finish the podcast, then take advantage of it. my only concern with Breda is he got nicked up literally every single game, mm-hmm. but they didn't have any running backs on their roster anymore, so they sort of had to keep putting him out. If they have four RBs on their roster, I mean, they'll probably rest him more than they were able to last year. But still, that's not, I mean, maybe that dings whatever value a little that may be increasing. But yeah, go buy. Because chances are, you could probably get him for like an early third, late second, right? I mean, it can't take more than that.
No, I don't think so.
Unless someone realized what's going on, which chances are they don't pay enough attention in the preseason to all of this. So go for it.
Hey, FYI, Raheem Mostert is injured again as well. So all of those, you know, the 49ers not having running backs available.
Is happening again?
Yes. I mean, Coleman.
Was Mostert the one who's like leg broken four places?
Yes.
All right, so that dude shouldn't be playing anyway. And then there was...
That was like, gross.
Yeah, that was bad. Yeah. And they have like Ralph Wilson Jr. Is that the other guy that... I don't know, anybody they bring in. They can't get Elf back. That's the shame.
Yeah.
Let's go to the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Christian Kirk is going to be the highest scoring Arizona wide receiver, and by a lot. I am calling this hashtag Christian Kirk SZN. I had trouble trying to place him. Like, I wanted to say top 24. I don't know necessarily if that's true, but the volume alone and him, I think at this point with Larry Fitzgerald being a crotchety old man, he's easily the best, most talented wide receiver on that roster. And if they do throw the ball the 800 times that they're probably going to, if they run 90 plays a game like they say they're going to, PPR, he's going to be good. He'll at least have a floor, right? Like, yeah. I think I'm there for it. I went last week trying to buy him, and I think I might have been too late. I think, like, the cat's out of the bag on that one. I wish I could remember what I was trying to offer, but it was probably like early second-ish valuation and clear no across the board on just about everyone. So yeah, I think now it might be worth paying. I'll get back to you. I think I'm going to start either later tonight if my laptop actually starts working, or tomorrow when I don't feel like working anymore. I'm going to start throwing out some Christian Kirk for real offers, and clearly, you know, check out at Trade Addicts Pod for the trade polls, because I'm definitely going to get one of them done, I feel. Just going to make it happen for the hell of it.
Nice. Yeah, I love Christian Kirk. I think, you know, I'm pretty sure I had him as my wide receiver one in last year's class even. So, yeah, I love this. I hope it happens. I'm rooting for him for sure. I know our boy Stoops certainly is too. He's a Texas A&M boy, so... I know he loves Christian Kirk as well. Mm-hmm. One thing I do want to just make sure that I point out and scold you for, if you ever, ever call Larry Fitzgerald a crotchety old man again, we're going to have issues. I mean, he's younger than both of us.
He does 100% a crotchety old man.
Oh, man. You can't disrespect one of the goats, though.
He can be a goat and still be 100 years old. That's just the way it is.
Oh, man. I don't know. I don't like to see these things with these dudes. So
I know. The young guys being old makes you even older. Just
that's right.
Embrace it.
that's absolutely right. So my Cardinals take, I mean, if Christian Kirk takes off and is as successful as you're hoping and believing he's going to be, then I think mine has a better shot of happening, and that's that Kyler Murray wins Rookie of the Year.
Ooh.
You know, and that's, I don't know how bold that is. It's bold in my mind.
It's super is, because I mean, we're excited about the new offense, but it's a rookie quarterback with a bad offensive line with a coach that has never coached in the NFL before. New system to everybody. So it is super bold. I like it because I wish I was on to Kyler earlier. Again, yeah. I super missed the boat on that one. Like, there's, oh man, some of the offers that, well, counter offers I got after sending what I thought were good offers for Kyler. We won't get into that because, yeah.
Does it make you sad?
Yeah, for many reasons. One, you'll hate, but we'll, when we're done recording, I'll tell you what it is.
Okay.
No, I love it. Who else would it be? That's what I've been sitting here trying to think.
Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, it's like Jacobs or Montgomery. Maybe Miles Sanders gets that workload, which hope so. Yeah, I think I cross my fingers, and you know, Jerry's the only person watching us, so he's the only person besides Brian to see that. So that was good radio right there. So I like it. I'm good. I enjoy that. What team did we leave out?
Rams.
You want to do yours first?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Go.
My Rams bold take is that Todd Gurley is Todd Gurley, and everyone hates themselves for doubting him again.
There was an Adam Schefter tweet, I think today, that was along the lines of everybody's overreacting. Todd Gurley is Todd Gurley. And, you know, things have just sort of spiraled out of control through the media. And we're going to, like you said, feel silly about it.
Yep. Yeah, I just don't. I mean, I've been banging this drum all off season, you know, with or non-point scoring season with Gurley. You know, I just don't think I had a conversation early in the off season with Ethan Turner, who's a really good dude, and
PT doctor, right?
Yes, correct. And you know, we in fact, I think it was on the open bar. I was on the open bar with him and ended up talking about Gurley and his knee, and we really got into it. And you know, he said the biggest issue there is if it's arthritis, it's a pain management thing, right? Now, obviously, last year at the end of the season, it was an issue. You know, I mean, that CJ Anderson went wild and looked like a better running back than Todd Gurley did. He only ran the ball, what, 13 times in the Super Bowl or something like that? So, you know, obviously that's concerning, and I think that's what sticks out in everybody's mind. The thing about dynasty GMs is it's always, what have you done for me lately, right? Always. So the last thing that we saw of Todd Gurley last season was, you know, the dude was deteriorating to the point where CJ Anderson was taking away carries from him. And I think the fear of that has driven Gurley's value down, obviously. I mean, we talk about it all the time. But we did this with him previously. Now, previously, it wasn't injury related. Previously, it was Jeff Fisher related. Right. Jeff, and yeah, performance related, sure. But still, I think, you know, people aren't listening. They're speculating instead of listening to what's happening. And I'm not talking about listening to the coach speak. I'm just talking about, you know, if you look at this whole scenario since it started at the end of last season, they have a Ferrari, right, in Todd Gurley. I don't even know. That might not be a good comp. I'm not a car guy, but you get it. You get the point. An expensive car, right?
Ferraris are still expensive cars.
Yes, okay. Correct. Okay. And, you know, they paid him a ton of money. He's their prized possession on the team, right? He's one of their best players. He's an all pro. He's really good. Superstar, you know. They're going to manage him. They're going to be careful with him. They want him to run for a while. Right, they don't want to buy another Ferrari in a year, essentially, or buy another, you know, Chevy and think it's a Ferrari, whatever. It's the car references aren't.
Yeah, I was about to say, just
I need to stick with what I know. Yeah. So, they're going to watch the wear and tear on his body, and why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? You know, I mean, history says you can't run a running back 370 times and have him be okay two seasons later. I mean, you just can't. So I think they're going to be careful with him. I still think, I mean, Todd Gurley, and we talked about this before, Todd Gurley on 17 touches a game is going to be a running back one.
Still he might
not
very good.
He might not be the running back one anymore. He might not have the volume to do that, but he's still going to be a running back one and a very productive fantasy football player.
Amen. And what makes good fantasy running backs? Being on a good offense. What makes a good offense? Jared Goff throwing for over 5,000 yards and 30 touchdowns. This was one of my spicier ones, and I'm leaning into it. Honestly, I was never really that big of a Goff guy, and I don't know what made me do this. I don't know what made me think about it. Maybe it was just loving every piece of that offense, hoping that Gerald Everett gets involved, even though Cooper Kupp's coming back. If Todd Gurley isn't necessarily on the field as much, Daryl Henderson will be. He's a good receiver at the backfield. Maybe John Kelly gets a little on that field, a little John Kelly action. That would make people a little happy. I don't know what it is. I feel it. I feel Jared Goff right now. I wish I had something to back it up.
But I like Jared. Well, I mean, you have last year almost 4,700 yards and 32 touchdowns. I mean, he's a good quarterback. Again, this is another one of those scenarios where we just talked about it. What have you done for me lately? Well, the last seven games last year, Jared Goff wasn't throwing for 350 yards and four touchdowns a game. So people remember that. They don't remember the first 11 weeks of the season when he literally was throwing like four touchdowns a game. So, you know, I mean, I love this. I hope like hell it happens because I have so many Jared Goff shares.
It's I actually ridiculous. Just remembered what made me do this, and it was really kind of spiteful. I'm in a John Bosch league where we did an auction, and I got Jared Goff for 10% of my budget, and I was thrilled because it's a super flex league, of course, and getting a starting quarterback at 20%, no less a QB1 in my mind. And someone, I wish I could remember who it was, but someone brought up they're like, you know, he was figured out at the second half of the year. So they think he's kind of toast. I was like, no. You know what? Jared Goff, 5K yards, 30 touchdowns. That's exactly what happened. This was a spite bold take.
Nice. I love it.
Why don't you give us the next division and pick a team?
Okay, let's go to the AFC South. And I will start with the Tennessee Titans. Because why not?
Why not?
So, my bold take is a Corey Davis breakout.
Well, you know, and I love that.
And by breakout, I have him at 1,100 yards or more and 8 touchdowns.
That's a very good season. That sort of leans into mine as well. All right. Well, I'll give you mine and then we'll talk about the Titans in general.
Okay.
I wrote Titans. Everyone is a 2. Mariota, QB2, Henry, RB2, Corey Davis, wide receiver 2, Delanie Walker, tight end 2. This team is going to be super average, but even though it's a step up for a lot of people, right. No one really thinks Corey Davis is going to be a wide receiver 2. Freaking Stompy and James Katulis and their anti-Mariota talk don't think he'll even be a starter. If he could be the QB15, I'll be happy. Completely. Derrick Henry, I think if the reason I really put him as a 2 is I think some people are a little deluded in thinking he's going to be an RB1, and that's rich, especially for a guy that doesn't catch the ball. And let's face it, PPR is the way to go. If you don't play PPR, you're playing it wrong. That's not true. Play whatever makes you happy. Like I said it out loud, and then I felt like I can't let that sit. But if you play with any sort of PPR, I think that knocks Henry enough that he won't be able to be an RB1. And Delanie Walker, he'll get that volume, but I think I keep bringing this up. I think there's going to be enough of a talent infusion in the tight ends that old dependable, old reliable, whatever you want to call him, he'll be like Frank Gore, super solid. He'll have that floor. I just don't think he'll have as much of a ceiling as he used to, especially with Corey Davis catching 1,100 plus yards and 8 touchdowns.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and AJ Brown on the other side too, I think will limit the upside of Walker. I agree with you. I think he's gonna he has a really solid floor in that.
He's
offense.
Back on the practice field, and I'm freaking thrilled about it. Yes. Oh, I don't know if I brought it up on this show. I forgot what show I brought it up on. Like just to go along with what I was saying with the Seahawks needing Russell Wilson to be that efficient. The Titans are sort of manufacturing that same offense. But since they don't have that quarterback, they brought in A.J. Brown. Like, to me, that's what this was. That's what, because the argument was always that now A.J. Brown's going to be the wide receiver one over Corey Davis. To me, I don't think it matters. They play a little differently. I think Corey Davis is more that build of the and skill set of the wide receiver one. But they need as many dependable pass catchers as possible on that offense because they're going to run that ball 40 times a game.
Yeah,
so the 15 times they pass, they need them to get caught.
Right.
So that's why I'm a fan of everyone on this team because I think while there won't be a lot of volume in the passing game, I think it will be super efficient because they're all very good players. So I think it will. Assuming this offense isn't, you know, vanilla as hell, I think this will work well. And I'm a fan of how this hopefully will work out.
So let me ask you this. You're a Mariota guy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you, I mean, can he be a Russell Wilson type? In the sense of so here's the question. I don't think he's nearly
like Russell Wilson double white.
I don't
double light. Well, double white. That was double light. Like he like I wouldn't even call him Russell Wilson light. Like I think if he hits QB 15, you're lucky, and that's awesome.
Yeah, I guess what I'm asking is, you know, last year the dude had. I mean, he was playing with a pinched nerve that didn't let him throw the ball. So
he could not feel his hands.
Right. So I'm not a Marcus Mariota guy by any means.
I know.
If you've been listening to us. Well, I'm just saying, you've been listening to us long enough, you know that I'm not a Marcus Mariota guy. Having said that, I mean, he wasn't terrible. He wasn't great. He wasn't really even good. But he was average. He was quarterback 15, right in the middle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Prior to last season. I mean, his first 2 years, he wasn't bad. So I guess if they're running a similar offense where I think the difference for me is probably the accuracy because Wilson is ridiculously accurate throwing the ball. And I don't know that Mariota has that. You know, he was very efficient. I think I don't remember the stats. The numbers get mixed for me, but
you're supposed to be the smart guy.
I know. But yeah, like I, you know, the rookie season, he had, I mean, it was pretty decent, wasn't it? Yeah. His second year in the league, 26 touchdowns, 9 picks and 3,400 yards. I mean, that's not bad.
It's a QB2 season.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I think he can definitely do. I mean, we're talking top 24. Is he in the top 2/3 of the league? Yeah, probably.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
I mean, like volume and deep was never really in his play style anyway. I think we got enamored with thinking he could grow into being Russell Wilson. And again, I think that's really just our fault for being wrong of what our expectations were. And then those expectations sort of sat there and we couldn't manage them, so that's why we're as disappointed as we are. Yeah, okay, we're gonna move on. This is one we're gonna talk about because Eitan yelled at me today. We just started the draft for the Dynasty Diagnostic Listeners League,
mm-hmm.
and it is 3 12 team divisions,
mm-hmm.
and you're allowed to trade players between the divisions. And he looks at me. Looks at my team, and he literally goes, "Damn it, Outhouse, you have Deshaun Watson in every damn league." And I said, "Yes, I do." Deshaun Watson, this year's QB1.
I love it. I love it.
I am all over Deshaun. I'll put it out there, dynasty-wise, he's my QB3. I have Mahomes at 1, Luck at 2, Watson at 3.
Mm-hmm.
But for this year, I think Deshaun Watson will score more points than those other two guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, and especially if the TD number goes up. I mean, if he can settle in, you know, I think we talked his rookie year. He was on pace for like 58 touchdowns or something like that when he got hurt, which is insane and not realistic. Well,
we also
I don't think
Mahomes wasn't going to do what he did.
Sure. Well, and but he's so if he was on pace for 58 or 55 or whatever, and he did 26 last year, can he, if he lands in that 33 to 35 range for touchdowns, I think he's going to be right there. I mean, I think he's going to be right up there in the top couple quarterbacks, if not right at the top. So,
because yards should come pretty easy in that offense.
Yep.
All right. What do you got for the Texans?
Well, so this was prior to the Duke Johnson trade that we filled this out.
Did you have a Lamar Miller bold take?
I actually did. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. I had Lamar Miller as a top 15 running back. I don't think there's any way that happens now. I like Duke. I think Duke Johnson.
Well, here's my thing.
Yep.
If Kiki's hurt, do you think Duke splits out a lot and that necessarily doesn't hurt Lamar as much as it would have before?
Possibly.
I'm trying to help you out.
Yeah, possibly. Possibly.
To make you really change.
No, not enough to make me change my mind, though. No, I don't think. I mean, I don't think there's really. I don't think Lamar Miller will do this now. So I apologize on the Texans front. We had filled
me on the Niners, you on the Texans.
Yeah, where you go.
You filled out one.
There you go. Yep. Where you?
Oh man, I haven't
one.
Read the rest of them to see how bad it is.
So. Where do you want to jump next? We why don't we jump to the Jaguars and get into a fight? Because
you looked and we actually have one that's proposing.
I did. I didn't mean to look again. I was looking. I thought I was looking at mine and I was looking at yours and I'm like, wait, I didn't write that.
All right, so I'll do mine first and then you can. I think Leonard Fournette's going to get benched before the end of the year. Now, I don't mean this to say he will be like a healthy scratch. I don't mean like he'll be dressed and sitting on the bench because that's just a waste of a roster spot. He'll probably play. That was tough to say. He's not going to get that workhorse role. I think he'll get RB2 on his team to RB3 even carries because I think they're going to start working him out if they can't get a trade. They're just going to start phasing him out. That's the right word. I don't want him to be a thing. I don't care if he's a thing. I feel bad for him a little bit because I don't know. He was supposed to be a thing and I don't like it when people fail, but he's a little bit of a jerk too. So I don't think he's going to be a thing. You apparently think he's going to be a thing.
Well, yeah. So, I have Fournette as a top 12 running back this year.
Top 12.
So an RB1. Yep. Yep, I think he is going to get the volume again. Here's the thing, and it comes down to health, right? I think, at least for me, if he's healthy, I think he's going to get the volume. I think he's going to catch some more passes, which will make a big difference. And then, he's going to be get those goal line carries. He's a big dude down at the goal line. I think he's capable of doing what he did 2 years ago, 1,100 yards, 8-9 on the ground. And I think if he catches, 40 passes, then he's probably going to be a top 12 running back.
I mean, yes. He absolutely has the ability to do that. If we're going to use camp speak to confirm our biases, there was talk about him catching from, how Foles loves to throw to a big back like him mm-hmm. and how he was catching the ball. Cause he's caught decently throughout his entire career. Mm-hmm. We just choose to, ignore it because it doesn't help when we want to say he's just a big bruiser. And yeah, he can't run wheel routes, but he doesn't have to screens mm-hmm. and dump offs and stuff like that. Most running backs can catch those. I never feel good about his health, and I don't know, like the team removing his guarantees out of his contract, and I don't think that team necessarily cares that he's there anymore. I don't know if that means they run him to the ground, in which case you're absolutely right, and he will be a running back one probably easily as long as he survives. Or if they just say, we don't want to deal with you at all, just sit That's why I kind of went with the bold take of being the opposite of, you know, what I think is probably the reality of it. The reality is they don't want him on the team. So while they have him, they'll just grind him down. So
here's the other reason that I like him and think. So the whole scenario surrounding Leonard Fournette and them sending messages to him. I mean, first of all, yeah, you got to take that seriously. I think, you know, yeah, they were absolutely sending a message with what they were doing. I mean, it was, listen, we don't give a crap. Like, you better shape up or you're getting shipped out, basically, you know? And when you think about Tom Coughlin, you know, being in a managerial, you know,
role. I don't even know what he really does, but he's like...
But he's old school.
Yes.
He's old school. He's going to take the kids out back and...
Go ahead.
I should probably just stop right there, but... You know, I mean, he's going to give him a stern talking to, and it's going to be a serious conversation, and he's going to mean it. It's shape up or get out. And I think, you know, from all the reports that we've seen anyways, and again, how much stock can you put in those? I don't know. But it seems like all the news about Leonard Fournette this, you know, within the last month and a half or so has been really positive. That he's in better shape, he's healthy, he's doing everything. Today there was a report came out, he said he got rid of all the bad people in his life. Who the heck knows if that's accurate too, but
whatever.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, it's steamrolling in a positive direction. So, I'm hoping, you know, and thinking that maybe he'll get the workload that I think everybody expected him to have last year before he got hurt. Again, the biggest thing for me is the health. And that's a legitimate concern because his ankles are not good. So, you know, but if he can stay healthy, I think he can be an RB1. So we got one team left, right?
Yeah, just do it.
So this is a big one for me. So I'll give you my fantasy take first for my bold take for fantasy purposes, and then I will give you my real football bold take of the year. So the fantasy one is that the Colts will have the number one passing attack in the league.
That's close.
Okay. My real world football bold take is that the Indianapolis Colts are Super Bowl 54 champs.
I mean, I love it. Don't get me wrong. That's their defense is improved. Andrew Luck is awesome. I love me some Paris Campbell. TY till you die.
They have an animal on the offensive line.
Oh my God, do they ever? They will have a top 12 tight end in Eric Ebron. Screw touchdown regression. Okay, so we need to talk about this.
Yep.
I was last year, it was around this time, it was around this show. That last year where I said that Eric Ebron was going to be the next Zach Ertz. Mm-hmm. And it was really just a joke because Frank Reich showing up.
Right. And then he became Zach Ertz almost.
I got so much shit for it that I just sort of leaned into it. I don't even know if I'm that big of an Eric Ebron fan, but I feel like I have to be at this point.
Doubling down.
I have to, right?
Yeah.
But like, let's face it. The dude was a top 10 draft pick in the NFL draft. Top 10-ish. I think he was like number 10, right?
Yep.
He's talented. He's on a team that loves throwing to the tight end. They don't have another tight end that could stay super healthy. Their wide receivers last year couldn't stay healthy either. I mean, availability is the best ability.
Yep.
I think that's the saying.
Yeah. That's what I've been. Yeah.
So like, I mean, maybe he won't catch 13 touchdowns and run for two. That was the weirdest thing ever that Eric Ebron ran for touchdowns. I remember watching that and laughing because it was like a game where he didn't have a catch. He ran for a touchdown and like, I could not contain the laughter on that one. So yeah, I don't think he's getting 13 touchdowns again, but I think he'll get used more. I don't have a reason again. I don't have super backing to it. I just think they saw what he did. There's no reason, especially if Jack Doyle is still hurt, for them to sort of ignore him the way they did with how well he played. So I'm hoping for rational coaching. I think that's really what I'm leaning towards. So we are, well, yeah, we're a pro Colts offense podcast. That's nothing new.
Are you afraid of Mo Ali Cox?
No.
Me neither.
I mean, let's be honest. Like, if there's a tight end on the field, he's going to get the ball. Yeah, Andrew Luck loves throwing to tight ends.
Sure.
So that does hurt Ebron a little bit. It's just that it'll steal 2-4% of his, you know, targets. You know, it is what it is. But again, you have to sort of expect that with Andrew Luck and tight ends. If they could start 6 tight ends, they would. That's the AFC South. We're done.
Yep. On to the AFC North.
All right.
This is my division.
Just then you bring us in.
Okay. Well, we're going to save the best for last. So we're not going to talk about the Steelers till the end.
I almost did. I almost
I cut you off. So you couldn't.
Yeah. No,
let's start with the team that everybody's assuming is going to be the best team in the North this year. The Cleveland Browns.
Oh, sorry.
And I will admit that there is a little hinge or twist of homerism in this statement. I, of course, am a diehard Steelers fan, and I don't know if you've noticed. That's hilarious to say. But there are several Browns fans on fantasy Twitter.
Cleveland and Minnesota, that's where they roll.
I mean, oh my word. So anyways, I for one am sick of it already. To be completely honest, I mean,
don't be nice.
It's the truth. Half of my really close buddies in this thing that we do, this fantasy dynasty Twitter, you know, some of my best friends out there are Browns fans, and I love them to death, but I hate their damn team, and I hate that they just automatically assume after losing for 30 years or however long it's been. Anyways, my Browns take is that they will have fantasy stars all over the field. Baker Mayfield is a quarterback 1. Odell Beckham Jr. is a wide receiver 1. Nick Chubb is a running back 1. David Njoku, tight end 1.
Ooh, that's
not
that's
overall.
Spicy. Well,
not overall, but
A.
Yes, tight A one. Tight end 1. So they have fantasy stars all over the field, and they're still going to miss the playoffs.
Ooh, that little bit at the end. How? Do you think the defense is that bad, or you're just angry?
No, I think there's a better team in the North.
And you don't think they'll be good enough to get a...
No.
I almost said a flex spot, but that is the wrong game. A wild card spot.
I think the wild card's probably going to come. I think one will come out of the South and one will come out of the West.
Man, I wish dead air. If I was okay with editing, I would sit and look and try and think of who you're like who it could be, but I'm way too lazy for that.
Well, I think the Texans.
And Texans will, and the Colts.
You're right. So the Colts, I think, are going to win the division. I think the Texans will get a wild card. And then I think in the West, I think whoever doesn't win the division between the Chargers and the Chiefs will get the other one.
I guess that actually makes a lot of sense when you say it out loud.
Yep.
Yeah, that is going to be very tough. Assuming you think that
Cleveland can go 8-8.
So let's just, you know, say what it is. You think the Steelers are still going to win the division?
Yeah,
so I think win the division, it will be very difficult for the Browns to make the play. But yeah, no, that is. I will not scream Homer into the microphone for that take. You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right, so what team are we talking about? The Browns. Browns. Nick Chubb. I did this before Duke Johnson, by the way. Nick Chubb is going to be the running back 2. I haven't decided who the running back 1 was yet.
Mm-hmm.
But Nick Chubb, the running back 2.
I just traded him away in a league. I've been acquiring him like everywhere.
Yeah, I know. You got 2 of my shares.
And then I moved him. So in a deal for Saquon Barkley.
Worth it. I mean, he'll probably be the running back 1, let's say. I'm surprised you didn't put it out there. He's so good. Like, he really is. And like that losing Duke freeze a lot of his ceiling for the first 10 weeks. Yeah. I mean, they need someone else there. I mean, do they have another? They have to have other running backs on the roster, right? I don't know of any of them.
Yeah, I really don't. I knew those three.
Which means, like, you know, here comes Jay Ajayi or Spencer Ware or something, but nothing that's going to be a threat to Nick Chubb at all. And I'm still not scared of Kareem Hunt like I wasn't before. So I don't know if that was real English or not, but I'm still not scared of him. Take that. So, yeah, I am all on. Damn, I'm on the Chubb train. Yeah. Okay, that's fine. I'll say those words.
So Dontrell Hilliard is there.
Should I know that name?
He went to Tulane second year.
So that's it.
That's all I see.
Well, then they clearly have to get someone else because you can't just have two running backs on a roster. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Okay. I love it. I hope, again, that's another one that I hope happens because I've acquired a ton of shares this non-point scoring season.
All right. So I'll save you from saying the word and let's talk about the Ravens.
Okay.
Because I know you don't even want to say that word.
Yeah.
This was a lot bolder before the first preseason game. Miles Boykin is going to beat Hollywood Brown in every receiving category. Before this, we thought Hollywood was healthy and Boykin was just a later draft pick than Hollywood was. Now everyone is on the Boykin train. The Boykin train, that just sounds funny. And it seems that Marquise Brown is not as healthy as we thought he was. So this is still, I guess, a bit of a bold take for Draft Capital Twitter, but it's not as good as it was last week. I just think Boykin fits Lamar Miller. No, Lamar Jackson. Never going to get that right. I think he fits Lamar Jackson better than Hollywood Brown does.
Interesting. I like it. That's interesting.
So what's your take for the Baltimore black-colored birds?
That Lamar Jackson becomes the best quarterback from the 2018 class.
My Baker. Damn. Like this year? Like this year it happens.
So let me classify this too, because
assuming he doesn't die.
It's assuming he doesn't die, and it's assuming I think so. And when I say best, I don't mean this is more of an
eye test kind of thing.
Well, this is more of an NFL quarterback, like
that's kind of what I meant by eye test
versus fantasy production, maybe even like
that's what you're saying.
I think it would not shock me at all, even with the Brown stack roster, if Lamar Jackson leads Baltimore to a Super Bowl before Baker leads the Browns to one.
Wow, that is not something I expected you to say.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And look, again, bold take, right?
Yeah,
bold takes. So do I realistically think that will happen? I don't know. I think people...
There was a rumor swirling on Twitter that the Texans were trading Jadeveon Clowney to the Ravens. That would definitely help your critique.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just, you know, I don't. So Stompy's getting to me.
Yeah, I know, right?
Stompy is getting to me with the Lamar Jackson stuff. You know, I've started to look a little closer than I have previously because I don't like to look at the Ravens ever. Especially that god awful purple color.
It was way
disgusting. It makes me want to throw up. But I was looking closer at Jackson and watching him closer. And I don't think he's as bad throwing the football as people think he is. I think he's and I think that he's a kid too that is willing to learn and isn't going to be limited by his ego.
And I don't know if Baker will either. I mean, Baker's an outstanding young quarterback as well. I don't mean to. Again, this wasn't a shot at the Browns or at Baker at all, because he's a stud. I just really am liking what I've seen when I've taken another look at Lamar Jackson. And I think, you know, they're building this offense around him, you know, completely. So they believe in him. And, you know, I don't know. I just, it's interesting. It's a very bold take, and I don't know. This may be a very quick make amends. I don't know, but I just have a feeling, and I really like what I have seen when I've taken another look. And that is, I mean, Stompy's the one that kind of put that flag, you know, planted the flag and made me look again. And I like what I see. So,
no, I always thought that Lamar Jackson was going to be more than he was last year, because, like, exactly what you said, that was Joe Flacco's offense. This is going to be Lamar Jackson's offense. Greg Roman is awesome for running quarterbacks, not even mobile quarterbacks. He's awesome for running quarterbacks. He has led. I love how I say these things with such confidence, like it's something that I figured out. I forgot who actually said it, though, that Greg Roman led Kaepernick and Tyrod Taylor to their best statistical throwing seasons. Mm-hmm. Not even just statistical seasons, but like throwing stats. Mm-hmm. And, you know, bringing in Ingram, Justice Hill, who are both very good, and all of the different, you know, tight ends, and Boykin, who's a really big, fast guy. And in case they ever feel like chucking it down the field, they got to, assuming his foot heals, a really, really fast dude in Hollywood Brown. So it's, yes, Lamar Jackson will be better than he was last year, 100%. I love how far you're taking it, though. And I know Stompy loves it, too. So shout out. pick another team. Is there another team?
Bengals. Yeah, Bengals. Yep. So for the Bengals, I have that Tyler Boyd will have a higher ADP in March of next year than he does right now. And this, again, was, I think this happened before. I wrote this down before AJ Green got hurt. Mm-hmm. But I stand by it. I mean, I absolutely think he will. I think Boyd is an ascending player that is currently still discounted enough that you should go buy him everywhere. So,
yeah. All right. This
is a weird podcast, because I just want to point out what has happened tonight. Okay, so I'm shouting out a Pitt wide receiver in Tyler Boyd, and I defended Larry Fitzgerald, also a Pitt wide receiver. Now, I don't think he graduated from Pitt. I think he graduated from University of Phoenix, or at least that's what it says in the commercial. So,
hey, that's what we're
going to go with. but yes, so I just want this to be, you know, while I slide up here for our one or maybe two people that are watching currently.
Still just Jerry.
Hey, yeah, Jerry. Hey, Jerry. I have a Penn State football shirt on, as everybody can see in the, you know, as Jerry can see and Russ can see. So, but yes, I'm trying here. I'm working hard to, you know, Browns still suck. Ravens still suck. Actually, Ravens don't suck. There's mutual respect. I just hate their guts. Browns still suck.
Feeling better?
Yeah, actually, that felt pretty good.
Good. I can see it in your face. Like, you started to grin before the smile really came on. I'm like, yeah, you're feeling better. loved it. So my Bengals take that this is going to be the last year of AJ Green and Andy Dalton on the Bengals. They're going to start a fresh new offense built around Tyler Boyd and Joe Mixon. And both Joe Mixon and Tyler Boyd are going to be top 12 this year. Now, the Mixon part of that isn't necessarily super bold. I think the Boyd part is a little.
Yeah.
But I love Boyd.
I do too. I really, really like him.
Their defense isn't great. I think the volume is going to need to be there. Boyd is a very good route runner. He doesn't necessarily run deep routes. So the fact that their offensive line did... you can't even say it got worse, because it was just as hurt as it was last year already. So assuming no one gets hurt further than there is right now, they're sort of the same place they were last year.
Mm-hmm.
Which means they'll need the dump offs to Boyd and the dump offs to Mixon. And that's sort of where I'm getting with, like, I think they're going to be PPR beasts, both of them. And, you know, hashtag John Ross season.
No, I'm not with you on that one.
No John Ross season?
No.
Yeah, no. All right, so is that all of our bold takes?
Pittsburgh Steelers, baby.
Oh, damn. I was hoping we'd forget about it.
No.
All right, do you want me to go first so you could finish up on the Steelers?
I would like you to go first.
Hold on. Let me make sure. Nope, almost read yours. Steelers, remember how you said that the Colts were going to have the number one passing attack in the NFL?
Yes.
Nuh-uh.
Steelers!
Pittsburgh Steelers, number one passing attack. Ben goes for over 5,000 yards and 30 touchdowns.
I love it. Please let it happen. If you just put the jinx on them, I'm going to hurt you.
I have so many Ben shares that I hope I did not.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And it plays right into mine. So let's talk about this, though. I want to talk about this. This is exciting.
I like all their secondary receivers. I mean, James Washington before... We all got sad that James Washington was placed in Pittsburgh because there was AB, there was Juju. Now there's just Juju. And yeah, he hasn't completely shined right away, but it's first year, second year. I mean, like, give the dude some time. Deontay Johnson is a good intermediate route runner kind of guy. Vance Dance, it's time. Stay healthy. Let's do it. I mean, whatever, Dante Moncrief. Like, he's not bad. He's just not good. But Ben likes him, which means he'll get the ball. Mm-hmm. So like, I'm a fan of this offense. Love James Conner. Jalen Samuels is going to catch some passes. Snell, yeah. Love you, J. Mike. I mean, there's no reason for this not to be a fantastic offense. Will they throw the ball 718 times they did last year? I mean, I don't know. But I think they're going to be good.
So do I. Well, so do I. Yeah, and mine is specifically, when we're talking about the pass game, mine is specifically about Juju Smith-Schuster. And it's just that Juju doesn't miss. So this is this is not what I wrote on the page. But Juju doesn't miss a beat. Get it? Juju beat Juju on the beat. Anyways, Juju doesn't miss.
You keep trying to make that joke, and it just never hits. No. Maybe you should just stop it.
I'm a dad, so a dad. So, yeah. No, anyways, he doesn't miss a B at all. He becomes a bigger superstar than he already is, and the Steelers sign him to a massive extension because I think they will. And I think they'll do it as soon as possible. I don't think they're going to wait around with this kid. You know, they're going to do the same thing they did with Antonio Brown. They're going to give him a contract
before they have to give him a bigger contract 2 years later.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, that's smart. I think there's a couple of teams that sort of pulled that. You know, the Vikings with Thielen. Mm-hmm. I mean, imagine if they waited another year. Do they have to pay anybody else, the Steelers, that you could think of off the top of your head?
Well, Connor comes up, I think, in that same draft.
Yeah.
Right? Or he was in that same draft, so he would come up the same time. But if they can get... I mean, I certainly would hope that they would do an extension with Juju before they would do a Connor, you know, just running because of the position.
Yeah. And also he would just get more anyway.
Right.
Especially right. I want Connor to be a workhorse like he was for those first few games. I just don't think it's going to happen with the personnel they have. So I think it's going to show that he's not going to get Todd Gurley money. So I mean, that's good for the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
Man, like, running back contracts are so crazy right now. I don't even know how to handle it. Yeah. But that's not something we're going to get into right now. But, you know, what go Steelers go? Like, what do they have? Like, what do you say?
Like, their chant?
Yeah.
Here we go, Steelers. Here we go.
Okay, there you go. Pretend I just said that. Yeah, because I'm there for that offense.
I'm going to make you say it. Would you like me to do it one more time, and then you can repeat after me?
Yeah, do it one more time.
Here we go, Steelers. Here we go.
Yeah, I'm still not going to say it. I just wanted to make you do it again.
Bastard.
Yeah. Well, that is all of our bull takes. These were fun shows. I greatly enjoyed the last three shows that we just did.
Yeah, the bull takes are always a good time. It puts us at a place where we stretch our... our thought process a little bit and, you know, go from the what realistically can probably happen to maybe a few that, you know, hopefully at least a few that are just way out
there. What you want to happen and what you think might, and then we just get to make fun of each other when we think we're wrong.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a little like it was awesome this year that we didn't read each other's. Last year, I know we did because we avoided doing the same things, like talking about the same players.
Yeah.
This year, we didn't. And I think we only really, I think Fournette was the only time we really, really disagreed.
Mm-hmm.
Man, we have to start fighting more.
Okay.
I don't know about what just yet. Yeah. I always joke I'm going to become a Pitt fan just to piss you off, but I really don't have the dedication for college.
Well, but you're from New Jersey, right? And Rutgers people hate us. They hate us.
But I also hate Rutgers, so I have absolutely no interest in rooting them for anything. I do not have.
I'm going to get you to. I'm going to get you to a game up here, and you're going to.
I would love.
It's going to be. It's going to change everything.
No, like my cousin is a Penn. Well, he was a Penn State. Penn State.
Yeah. Yeah,
but still, sure. You know, roots for them. I had a friend or two that went to Penn State also.
Yep.
So, like, I know it's a thing. I know the school spirit thing is, I'm a little jealous of it, to be honest. But, like, I don't have it at all.
But here's why it's, and this is a completely different conversation, not just about Penn State, but about these big major college programs that have the followings, like Penn State, like Michigan, Ohio State, Texas, USC, whoever else you want to throw in there. It's about being something. It's about being a part of something that's bigger than yourself. Like you don't have to be a graduate of the school to be a diehard fan of the program. You know, so yeah,
no, I agree. I think it helps to have that investment in your wallet and your soul. But
sure. But I think like it's the experience too. If you like, for example, if you come and do this with me, I mean, you're gonna get like all world class tailgating. I mean,
if I go to a Penn State game with you, I'm going all out. I'm face painting.
Gonna be outstanding.
Yeah, just if anything, just for the hell of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Man, now I want to make that happen.
When do you want to come?
I wish I had any paid time off left this year.
You don't need paid time off. Come Friday night after work. It's only 4 hours. You can be here by 11.
Oh, my God. I'm so lazy. I hate driving.
Well, that's a problem because Mass Transit doesn't come out to freaking Central PA. So
I'll find out when
I could send a horse
Does Rutgers play you guys? I'll just like strap a skateboard to the back of their bus.
They do. I believe that game is.
Oh, isn't it like week two or something where it's like I couldn't go anyway?
Nope.
Oh, no, that was like a giant.
It's late. They play here this year.
Is it on November or something?
November 30th. So it would be the Saturday after Thanksgiving, I believe.
See, the thing is, like, you know, I was almost like, yeah, we're going to make this happen. Like, I'd even pretend to root for Rutgers or anything because that's just not going to happen.
I just root for Penn State.
Yeah, that's going to.
So that you don't die. I'm just.
Oh, kidding. Yeah. No, I don't root for away teams. Like, I went to a Giants Seahawks game, the Giants State or MetLife Stadium, whatever you want to call it. I did not wear my Seahawks shirt. And, you know, they scored a touchdown. That was the extent of my rooting.
Did you see the video of the guy in the Juju Smith-Schuster jersey at Browns training camp?
No.
That was funny. Tim Torch put that out on Twitter, I think, or he got it somewhere, one of the Cleveland websites. Might even be the one that he writes for. I'm not sure, but he put it up. It was funny. I was brave. I wore Steelers gear to the Cleveland Browns.
Just don't want to get in a fight. And well, especially people in my area are a-holes.
Hey, man, they called my wife things. I still to this day have no idea what they said to her. I have no idea. And I didn't say anything back. I just.
Nope.
I was like, she's like, don't say anything. It's okay. And she was laughing, you know, and I'm glad she was because I wasn't laughing. I was like, oh, man, I thought I was going to die.
Yeah, so. My wife would have fought somebody. She don't care. All right. On that note, this borrowed laptop is about to start dying. So we're going to just start doing our little sign off.
Yeah, let's do it.
Buy our t-shirts.
Do we have to do one trade? if we don't do a trade on a Trade Addicts podcast, what the hell?
Okay.
We got to get one in. Let's get one in.
All right. I closed down. Well, I closed
all right,
down. I put my phone down. So
I got it. Yeah. Trade Addicts trade. That was very fast. Okay. Let's do quarterback since we were talking about Ben.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I want to do this one actually. Yeah.
Trade Addicts 3 was Ben Roethlisberger for Derek Carr and a third.
See, this is why I host things. Trade Addicts leagues 12 teams, super flex, PPR, tight end, premium. They're super flex. It's important. It's a QB trade. Okay. Here's my question. Does this AB thing like completely destroy Derek Carr's value for you? Like he might not play ever again because he may have gone insane.
Yeah, the report today said he's going to play with a new helmet because he lost his arbitration hearing or whatever. So, but yeah, I mean, I don't think it's all that great anyway. I mean, he's the only thing here. Here's the thing, too. If Gruden doesn't like him, and I don't know, maybe he does. I don't know.
I think a lot will matter this year. I think if he's good enough this year, then whatever happened last year will sort of fade away.
Can't you see Gruden bringing in his own guy to go to Vegas? They make a splash pick next year of a first round quarterback to take to Vegas, and they already have the running back. They have Antonio Brown, or maybe not. They have the gazelle. So, I mean, I don't think it completely kills his value anyways, because Carr, he's another one of those guys. It's like, he's not going to be, you know, he's like Mariota, Winston, Carr. They're all kind of in that. If you think he's going to be a top seven quarterback, you're probably nuts. I know I said Jameis is going to be a top seven quarterback, so.
Well, That's why I said that. They're going to chuck the ball, so.
But I just don't think, you know, I don't know. I don't think it tanks his value. I don't want him in this deal. I mean, I want Roethlisberger.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I could think of is you're trying to get young.
You're right.
I think the value difference between Roethlisberger and Carr, despite age, is much more than that. Based on at least the points for the next 2 years that you're going to get out of Ben Roethlisberger. And like you said, Carr's future isn't concrete at all. Mm-mm. I think let's take this one step further. Let's say Gruden does go and get his guy. Mm-hmm. Does Carr start somewhere?
I think probably.
I mean, do you think the Bengals lock themselves into more QB purgatory and start Carr?
Yep.
I mean, that's a Bengals move.
Yep. Somebody like the Bengals, somebody like the, you know, I mean,
the Jaguars sort of have their guy in Foles, at least for now.
The Dolphins.
Yeah, there's always, I mean, worst comes to worst, he'll be like a backup. He'll be the next Fitzmagic. You know, he'll back up and like end up starting every other year for someone. Mm-hmm. I mean, because he's good enough to start.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean, that 1 year before he broke his back, he was doing wonderfully.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of why, like, if AB is there, I'm not so low on him. Because I think he's shown that he can be not terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all you really need to ask for out of a Gruden offense. It's not terrible because they still just want to run the ball and play good defense.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I think we're both clearly on the Roethlisberger side of this.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So, wow, my stomach just made a really loud noise. I don't know if you heard that one.
I did.
Okay, good. Next time I'm going to put the mic to my stomach. Nice. So before I was so rudely interrupted,
yeah,
to bring you guys some good content of Trade Addicts trades, we're going to wrap it up with a little ffpodshirts.storeenvy.com. Go get some awesome Trade Addicts t-shirts or Superflex Super Show shirt. So sexy, so super flexy. Love that. Such a good idea. Like, I brought the idea to John Hogue that I was doing the FF Pod shirts. He's like, yeah, that's awesome. Do it. So I throw the logo on a blue shirt, and he's like, well, I kind of wanted to put this on there, and I'm like, why didn't I think of that? That's so good. And yeah, clearly it was, because, you know, both of us bought it.
Mm-hmm. Immediately.
Yes, right away. What else is there? I should make a coffee mug for them, because then I'd buy it also. Patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. Join us for the YouTube as we record live. You get to watch us, or even afterwards, you can still watch it if that's your deal. You get, depending on how much you put in, the $5 level of donation, you get the Cool Kids Club, which is our GroupMe chat, which is just so freaking helpful, which I'm about to hit up after we stop recording because I just got a doozy of a trade offer from Memphis in one of our leagues.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm scared. Wristbands.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, awesome wristbands. The Trade Addicts wristbands that are $5 each. $2 from every sale will go to Fantasy Cares. Hit up Brian in them DMs if you want to catch one. There are awesome brand colors of the navy blue, neon green. That's all. Do we have anything else?
I think that's it.
Well, that's going to be it regardless. Come see me at the Midwest FF Expo. And sorry, Brian.
That's all right. Enjoy it. No, it's going to be an awesome. That's going to be an awesome time for everyone that goes. So enjoy that and
start saving up for next year.
Absolutely. Yep.
Night, Brian.
Night, Outhouse.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast. Please remember to follow our host at Dynasty Outhouse and at Brian R. Please review, subscribe, and rate the podcast. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.